Hi, this is Austin Hill. Hey, thanks for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Now, remember, to hear the entire broadcast or more highlights from our recent episodes, you can go to the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com. Thanks for listening.
Back to Austin Hill in the Morning. Questions or comments for the show? You can leave them on our show page at myfaithradio.com.
35 minutes past the hour. Good morning. It's Tuesday, and we're glad you're with us from the Faith Radio Network. I am Austin Hill, and I'm here weekday mornings as we seek to be informative, challenging, hopeful, and helpful as we take on the issues of the day. So what is the far-reaching implication, the far-reaching impact of the Supreme Court of the United States and its decision on the legal definition of marriage in our country? Truth be told, it's probably very difficult to answer that question right now. There are, however, in the short run, some things that we can anticipate. Dr. Kent Kaiser, professor of speech communication here at the University of Northwestern St. Paul, where Faith Radio is headquartered. He joins us once again in the studio to give us some perspective. Dr. Kaiser, good to see you. Thanks very much for jumping in again.
Thanks for having me on.
Let's talk about, first off, the functioning of city, county, and state government agencies, those that are in the function, in the business of granting marriage licenses, issuing them. You have worked for some very interesting government agencies, both at the state and the federal level. And people who work in those agencies, they're going to need to change up things just a little bit. What's the impact there?
Well, they are going to have to change, they're going to have to cater to people they haven't in the past, unless there's some kind of protection put in place. They will have to serve whoever comes in and asks for a marriage license. And I think some states started issuing those licenses just immediately after the Supreme Court ruling last week. Mm-hmm. Some said that they're not going to. I think Alabama said mm-hmm. that they weren't going to. And so they're just not issuing any licenses at all. So it's not as though they're just not issuing marriages for same-sex marriages, or licenses for same-sex marriages, but they're not issuing any at all. It'll be interesting to see what happens, because you will have people, at the state and local level whose conscience tells them that they shouldn't be issuing those licenses, but they're going to have to.
Mm-hmm. I received a phone call. I think it was last Wednesday or Thursday, by a friend of mine who is a fairly secular person, I would say. He's Jewish by heritage. He lives in the otherwise very conservative and, I would say, fairly Christian region of Raleigh, North Carolina. And we were anticipating this ruling on the definition of marriage from SCOTUS. And he said, listen, the legislature in my state passed this bill that would relinquish or free city and county clerks and local government workers from the burden or the requirement of issuing same-sex marriage licenses if and when it violated their religious conscience. And the legislature was all gung-ho about that. Our governor vetoed it, and the legislature overrode it. And he was saying, what do you think about that, Austin? I mean, seriously, if it's the law, how do you safeguard the religious liberties of the individual working for the individual government agency? Very legitimate question. I didn't have an easy answer. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm not a lawyer, but it seems like this is probably where many of the future court challenges are going to be, issues like this. On first blush, I would say that the legislature probably can't constitutionally pass a law like that, because they're going to say separation of church and state. If a person goes to work for the state, then they have to, cater to the individuals that the law says they must. So I think that that's probably what's going to happen in that case. But I think this is where we're going to see a number of legal challenges. We're going to see legal challenges from religious institutions and those that are sort of quasi-religious institutions, and we'll have those institutions. It's definitely changed the definition of marriage in such a way that it will have an impact even on faith institutions who might otherwise be exempted from participating in same-sex marriages in the ceremonies and so on.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Kent Kaiser, professor at University of Northwestern St. Paul. He's in our studios here at the Faith Radio Network. Our network, of course, is headquartered at the University of Northwestern St. Paul. And so it's just a dash across campus, and we're glad to have Kent, Dr. Kent Kaiser with us. Let's talk about the impact of this ruling, the impact that's already very apparent on the how many candidates are we up to? The 73 people racing for the U.S. presidency. I haven't kept track on the Dr. Kaiser's presidential candidate meter lately, but the number is just staggering. And it sure seemed to me like a lot of the presidential candidates on all sides of the issue, man, they had their talking points ready to go. They had the plan in place. Right, they should, but boy, it took all of 15 minutes or so to start hearing about it. What's the impact on the race for the White House at this point, as you evaluate it?
Well, I think it's an interesting dynamic now. This ruling, I think, will ultimately help Republican candidates in as much as it sort of takes the issue away. Now, right now, you're hearing many of the candidates saying things about how they want to push for a constitutional amendment to, you know, sanctify marriage as an institution and things like this. I think that, you know, they must realize that that's probably very unlikely to happen. And so it's political posturing, especially for the early parts of the election cycle for the mm-hmm. caucuses and the primaries. But I think ultimately it helps because, you know, the candidate, whoever that is, the Republican candidate, will be able to say, well, I didn't agree with the Supreme Court's ruling. I know now that it's the law of the land. And that's what many have done with the issue of abortion, of course, too. But they can say that when it comes to the general election, and it really kind of takes that issue away then as a debate point against them. And so I think ultimately this ruling will, you know, for this election cycle, can help the Republicans if they do the right thing, maneuver, you know, in such a way that, you know, they sort of accept that it's the law for the general election and go from there.
What is the politically right thing for a presidential candidate, somebody on the right side of the aisle? We'll get to the Democrats in a few moments, but what is the right thing that is, I guess, the most appealing and the most strategic? I mean, is it U.S. Senator Ted Cruz, who is running for the presidency and is saying we need to amend the Constitution at this point? I think Mike Huckabee is saying that as well. Is that the right thing, or does that come across as kind of quirky, do you think?
I think it comes across as kind of quirky. You can work for a traditional marriage, but you need to get elected first. And so, you know, it's like you can have that particular stand, that's what you ultimately want to do, but don't run on it. You know, you need to get elected. So, again, taking the stance for election purposes, like, look, I don't agree with the Supreme Court ruling, you know, but it's the law of land, and then get into office and then see what you can do. You know, but I don't think you can run on it, especially considering the number of states that already had same-sex marriage. Mm-hmm. You know, when it comes to passing a constitutional amendment, I think the hill is pretty steep.
I would certainly think so. Dr. Kent Kaiser, professor at University of Northwestern St. Paul. He's in studio with us here at the Faith Radio Network as we talk about ramifications of the Supreme Court of the United States and its decision about the definition of marriage. Let's talk about U.S. Senator Rand Paul. He's running for the presidency, and he had a very interesting, and I think among the presidential candidates, a very unique approach to this. He said, let's get the government out of marriage altogether. Let's just stop. And you alluded to, I think you said he was in Alabama, government officials there just simply saying, we're not going to issue any marriage licenses. Quite frankly, I think there's people who want marriage to be redefined and people who do not want the historic definition of marriage to be redefined. People on both sides of this very contentious issue who probably look at the idea of getting government out of it entirely, letting private organizations and churches and synagogues and what have you do marriages. And, you know, as far as the government's involvement goes, we share private property rights and we sign documents that say we're committed to this person and leave it at that. Does that message have some resonance, get the government out of marriage?
Well, it definitely has some resonance, like you say, on both sides, those who are for traditional marriage and those who aren't. I think, that would be a fundamental change in the way that our country views marriage. I mean, already we've had that, I guess, but we've always viewed the institution of marriage as the building block of society. And to come along and say, oh, the government doesn't support that, that says the government doesn't value that particular institution as the building block of society and that there's no value in promoting it. So if you say get the government out of marriage, well, then you're saying, okay, no more tax breaks for married couples, no more, mm-hmm. no more, you know, child tax credit, I suppose. I don't know. I mean, you're saying all kinds of different things. There's all kinds of things that when you say get the government out of marriage, it has a real impact on that institution in such a way that I think that it has great ramifications on the greater society.
Hmm. All right, we'll continue in just a moment with Dr. Kent Kaiser, professor of speech communication at the University of Northwestern St. Paul, his thoughts on the ramifications of the Supreme Court of the United States and its definition redefining legally marriage. We'll continue in just a moment, 46 past the hour. This is the Faith Radio Network.
Getting your day started, connecting faith to life. Back to Austin Hill in the morning.
It's now 48 past the hour. From the Faith Radio Network, Dr. Kent Kaiser is a professor at the University of Northwestern St. Paul. Right here on the campus where our network is headquartered, we're talking about ramifications of the Supreme Court of the United States, in particular, their decision on the legal definition of marriage. We'll get to the Obamacare ruling in just a moment. Before we move off of the marriage definition, Dr. Kaiser, your thoughts on the Supreme Court's decision as it impacts presidential candidates on the left side of the aisle, the Democrats.
I don't think that there's a huge impact there because I think that the candidates on the Democratic side would probably be cheering this ruling. And I think that there isn't enough disdain for same-sex marriage any longer that's going to be a factor in any states that matter. I think that any of the states where that would be a factor wouldn't have gone Democratic anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Now, on the issue of the Supreme Court upholding the portion of the Obamacare law that allows tax dollars to be spent for health insurance subsidies, poorly written piece of the law. The plaintiffs that brought that case before the court said, hey, the federal government is not acting in a way that's consistent with the way the law is written. Supreme Court kind of came back and said, well, but it's not so much the way it's written. It's what it was supposed to mean. It's very interpretive. But Obamacare marches on as it has been. What's the impact of that?
Yeah, it was more than interpretive. It was rewriting the law. This really should have gone back to the Congress to fix the law, to write it the way it should have been written, rather than having the Supreme Court read things between the lines that weren't there. And so that's a problem. I think most people agree that was a bad decision. The political implication of this, I think, is that you still have more than half the country that dislikes Obamacare. And so I think that this decision just gives fuel to that, you know, dislike of the law. And so I think as a campaign issue, this Supreme Court ruling, crazy as this is, again, it's probably helpful to the Republican candidates who are opposing Obamacare, who want changes to Obamacare.
There are those who say, well, listen, the Supreme Court ruling, the marching on of Obamacare, both of those notwithstanding, this whole system that's been put in place with the federal law of Obamacare is so fiscally unsound. It is so destructive. The phrase is, it's going to collapse from within, or it's going to collapse of its own weight. Now, the truth is, a lot of states that have the so-called state-based Obamacare insurance exchanges, those things are operating with huge deficits. They just don't simply have enough state or federal tax money to pay for all their expenses. And it seems to me that there is some truth that this thing is going to fiscally collapse eventually. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you really have to wonder what the original legislation went through, like what their ultimate goal was. I mean, to make our whole economy centered on that. I mean, it's hard to say. But I think that there is going to have to be some reform of the law, obviously, because, like you say, it's economically unsustainable.
That said, where does that leave us? All of these things put together, where does that leave us in this very early stage with how? And I was joking about 73 presidential candidates. Do you have an update on the
count? I don't even know the number. I don't. You know, the media keep referring to, you know, the number of serious candidates, and I think it might be up to about 15 by now.
Okay.
And I don't know how they define serious when they include Trump in there and stuff. So.
Well, yes, that's an interesting phenomenon in and of itself. Care to weigh in on Donald Trump and some of the explosions that he's created for himself in, what, all of 4 or 5 days or so?
I love the guy as a celebrity. And I love the guy as a you know, bulldog out there attacking, you know, Democrats, of course. I don't like him as a presidential candidate.
The interesting picking of a fight with Univision was kind of an interesting out-of-the-gate sort of strategy. I think they drew a foul on him, sort of in basketball. You know, you get your opponent to foul you, and they drew a foul on him, I think.
Well, it's kind of weird how long they waited for this. You know, I mean, if they were really outraged, you'd think that they would have taken immediate action, but they didn't. I think they sat there and weighed, like, the pros and cons for a few days before they made a decision. So that's a little strange.
Yeah. That said, where are we at in this early stage of selecting another president here in the United States, chaotic as things are?
Well, I think that ultimately the issues are, you know, some of these domestic issues are really not going to go away in a sense. I think that we're really going to be focusing on international issues by the time we get around to the election. It's a year and a half away. Mm-hmm. I really do think that we're going to be focusing on different issues. And in that case, I think, you know, there's not really an advantage for one party or the other at this point.
What sort of internationals are you thinking
about? Well, I think
about?
Iran's becoming a bigger and bigger threat. I think, you know, we've raised the terror threat this even just this week because, you know, there's more and more terrorist activity around the globe. I think those are the issues. I think, you know, we're going to see some things happening in Israel that are going to be of concern. So I think that the international affairs are going to be the much bigger issue when we come around to the election than these domestic issues are.
Fiscal crises, does that make it to your international affairs list?
It does. I think that, you know, we're looking at Greece going bankrupt right now. I think, you know, that's a concern. You know, that has an impact yesterday, I guess, on our stock market.
Mm-hmm. So. It did indeed. Dr. Kent Kaiser, professor of speech communication at the University of Northwestern St. Paul. He's following the trends very carefully, crazy as they may be. Always a pleasure, sir. Thanks very much for jumping into the studios here, and we look forward to talking again soon.
Thanks for having me on.
I do like the idea of maybe you starting your own candidate count website or whatever. That could be fun. We'll talk about that later. Good to have you with us. 55 past the hour from the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill. Final few moments on the way. Well, thanks again for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Remember, for more information about this, visit the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com.